This is WUOT. I'm Chrissy Kuiper. For International Holocaust Remembrance Day, we spoke with two scholars from the University of Tennessee about their research into European Jews and the Holocaust.
My name is Helene Sinrich. I'm the director of the Fern and Manfred Steinfeld Program in Judaic Studies and associate professor of religious studies. A book I'm writing that I just had a Humanities Center grant for is about a group of 2,000 boys who are at Auschwitz. They undergo selection at Auschwitz, meaning they were being selected to either live or die. That selection, which my research has uncovered, was a series of selections, took place over the course of what in Judaism is the high holidays, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and in this case, Sukkot as well. These are three fall kind of harvest holidays. It's also a book that really explores how people managed to survive Auschwitz and how people sometimes died in Auschwitz, sometimes connected to their religious beliefs. There was this selection of these 2,000 boys. 1,400 of them are selected to be gassed. They're put in a barrack at Auschwitz, which is locked, but they're guarded by prisoners. And the prisoners know that they are responsible for these 1,400 boys to be produced the next day to be killed. So what begins to happen is anyone who has any kind of pull or influence or money hidden away begins trying to bribe these prisoners to release specific boys. As one boy was let out, another one would have to be grabbed to replace the boys who were doomed to be killed. This idea that Jews were sometimes during the Holocaust faced with choiceless choices. Do you save your son, or do you commit what in Judaism is a mortal sin, something that you can never do?
Do you think it was purposeful that they chose the high holy days to do this selection process?
So this is part of the mythology that I have interrogated a little bit in this work, because certainly the people who survived this saw it as purposeful, and they saw it as the Germans trying specifically to punish them during their holiest period of the year. My research has borne out something far more banal or pedestrian, which is there was a German factory in Braunschweig that needed X number of boys that met certain specifications. And they had sent a group of boys to this labor camp, and the company had sent some back saying they were unacceptable. And so rather than have any boys that would be unacceptable to this one truck factory, they simply killed off all the boys that would not be acceptable. And it just happened that they were doing these transports of these prisoners in September, October, November, which happened to overlap with these Jewish holidays. But there is a kind of tension between this reason, which is so horrible, and also the sort of way in which the survivors themselves think of those events and the timing of those events.
That was Helene Sinrich, Associate Professor of Religious Studies. Marilyn Callett is Professor Emeriti of Creative Writing and Knoxville's Poet Laureate. She researches the history of Jews in France and uses French quite a bit in her poetry.
I took French when I was in college, and then my mother sent me to, this is going to sound silly, but she sent me to the Sorbonne to get me away from a boy she didn't like. You know, worse things could happen, though. But anyway, so I got immersed in the French and fell in love with it. I was there for a year. I lived with the Moreau family. That was a challenge. The other American student who was living with them was a mime student, so she didn't speak during the time we were there. And I was very lonely, and I would go in and I would want to start, you know, let's talk, you know. And she was like miming, like opening a window and miming, leave me alone. And the Moreaus, well, We were at dinner one evening, and Monsieur Moreau started to reminisce about the day that the Paris police had arrived at his factory and took away the Jews, les Juifs, and he started to giggle. Now, I was 19, I was a boarder in their house, depending on them for food, and I'm sure I must have looked like a deer in the headlights because they didn't know I was Jewish. Not that they, I don't know that they would have cared, but it was information that I was getting suddenly in a bad way, because he was laughing about it, that no one ever taught us anything about what had happened to the Jews in Paris. And so once I got home, I started to research that, and I haven't stopped. The French gendarmes were like gung-ho about rounding up Jews. I still see myself sitting there with him. Now I'm friends with that family. I'm still friends with a daughter-in-law, and so it's like it hasn't kept us from, you know, from renewing the friendship in the newer generation. But that was bad. It did indeed, though, open a door for me to start researching. And so the French were not. Their complicity in the Holocaust, they're still grappling with it. Only in recent years did they put signs up in front of the public schools about so how many children from this school were taken, how many children from this school were, you know, taken by the... But that's within the last 10 years. You know, so I teach in France, in Auvillar, which is a village in southwest France. And when I first went to the village, I first arrived there, and that was in 2007 was my first visit there. There was an elderly man, a gardener at the house next door to where I was living, and I thought, should I ask him about what happened here? And so it was like, hi, bonjour, you know, how are you? And then I said, well, so were there any Jews here during the war? And he was like, yes. And he started to tell me about the Hirsch family. He said, Monsieur Hirsch was a radiologist, and he was taken to work with Mengele on medical experiments. And Berta Hirsch was 36 years old, and she was taken to denounced by villagers and taken to Auschwitz, and the twins were hidden. This was like a hello, how are you conversation.
Wow.
I know. It's like, okay, I guess there were, and let's take this down, right? And then I started to talk to people, and some of the elders in the village didn't want to talk to me at first. So it was like, no, not now. So it took until they saw that I was coming back year after year that they would talk to me. And so every time I go there, I get more stories. Oh, did you know there's a tunnel under the village? No, I didn't know that. I've been going there for 7 years. I didn't know there was a tunnel. Yeah, here's the door. I still haven't gotten the full story about that, but in Moissac and the surrounding area near where I teach, it was a hotbed for the Jewish resistance.
We heard from Professor Emeriti Marilyn Callett and Associate Professor Helene Sinrich about their research and writings on Judaism. I'm Chrissy Kuiper, WUOT News.